Can you hear me? Is it working? Still good? The song right now really is a great segue to the message. You know, even if we don't receive or we don't see what we're waiting on God for, our hope is still in Him, you know? So it's a powerful word. Blessed morning. Enjoyed worshiping with you already and meeting so many of you over the last couple of days. It's really a privilege for us to be here. So thank you for hosting our family. And we've really sensed that this is a special place, you know, with a special people, a family, right? With a special love for Jesus. Don't ever lose that special love. So we've eagerly waited for this time, as I'm sure some of you have. And the question has been on our hearts, actually, for a while. What does it mean to wait on God? So that's a question that Beth and I have continued to bring before the Lord. This theme has stayed on our heart for a while as we wrestle with the Lord with our questions, right? We all have questions. You know, we get confused at times. God, what are you doing? But God has been meeting us in this place very intimately as we draw near to Him. So we're receiving His counsel, we're receiving His word as we wait on Him. So thinking of ERC, where you guys are at, where you all are at, in a season of transition also, like us, I believe that God wanted me to share something of how He's been personally challenging me over these last few months, actually. I had a last-minute opportunity to share some of this with our home church. And it's just very obvious that when God gave me this message, you know, big part of our hearts were thinking of quite possibly being here right in front of you with this message. So with some encouragement and with really praying about it, I believe that I'm trusting and believing that God is going to make this word fresh for all of us. Even though it may be familiar to some, you know, I'm trusting that God is going to make it fresh for all of us. So let's pray. Father, we rejoice in you, that our hope is in you. God, let the words of my mouth, let the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, be acceptable in your sight. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. We rely on you to give us instruction, to illuminate your scripture, to illuminate the truth, that it would birth new life in us. Just help me now, Lord. Remove all anxiety, remove all fear. Lord, and I just pray the peace of Christ to guard my heart, to guard my mind. And we just pray a covering over this house, Lord, that we would just hear from you and let our hearts be drawn to the Savior in a fresh new way as we wait. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's been this theme of waiting on God, right? So, you know, talking with my wife about this and preparing for this message, originally we thought about just realizing the fact that I love road trips. I love getting away. Not sure about some of you, but I love traveling. Whenever there's opportunity to just see some new places. How many of you like road trips? Do you like to get away, right? Sometimes it's very refreshing, right? Restorative even, to slip out from your surrounding. And I especially love when, you know, we could just do a little pull over on the side of the road kind of thing if we see, you know, it depends where we are. Like, particularly, let's say, if you ever travel through, like, the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, you know, there's such beauty. There's, like, scenic overlooks, right? So you see the glory of God in creation, and it's everywhere, and It's helpful to stop and pause and to see His hand. So anyway, road trips. But what I don't enjoy about road trips, particularly, is when after we kind of start traveling a little bit. We're maybe about 15 minutes into it, and then we start to get the question. You know, we have young kids, right? So you could only imagine what that question might be. Yeah, right? So I'm like, not yet, we just left. So they hang tight for a bit. They hang tight. Another half hour goes by. They ask again, are we there yet? No, no. So that's kind of our reality, having young kids. Every year we have the opportunity to go to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. My brother-in-law, he blesses the family with a vacation. So it's about an 8-hour drive, but for us it takes about 10 hours because of all the stops and everything. So, young kids have a very little concept of time. They have difficulty understanding why it takes longer arriving to certain destinations, and then they get impatient, you know? They get impatient. So have you ever found yourself asking God the same question? Are we there yet? You know? You're pretty sure, perhaps, that God spoke to you something specific. You know, you're pretty sure, perhaps, that He gave you a promise to latch onto, but it hasn't come to fruition yet. You haven't seen it yet. You know? And we grow impatient. We grow frustrated, right? We wrestle with God. We give those questions to God. So that definitely describes me sometimes, and that's really a lot of the background, actually, to this message. Because, our life is a faith journey. You know, it's a walk with Christ, and things aren't always so clear. And that's okay, because the big discovery is that God has a purpose in the waiting. So a few months ago, I went on a personal retreat to just something actually I'd never done before. There's some people in my life who I really respect, and they talk a lot about caring for the soul, you know, like, you know, you get burnt out, you gotta slip away, you gotta slip away somehow. So God opened up an opportunity for me to slip away for a few days, end up going to the Poconos at a retreat center. And it was just a sweet time to meet with the Lord. And I had an objective, I won't lie. I was like, God, I have questions. You know, I have questions. And I was expecting to hear from Him, you know. And He revealed some things. But more beautiful that time was really just about sitting at His feet and being with Him, I have to say. You know, He kind of changed the agenda. You know, sometimes, you know, I went in thinking that He was going to do something for me. You know, like, give me all the answers, like, now, God, you know, I took apart these 3 days right here. And things still weren't always so clear, but it definitely was awesome to just meet with Jesus, you know, and have that undistracted time. So it can be natural for us to feel disappointment when the hopes and dreams, you know, that we believe God gave us go unmet and unfulfilled. And then, yeah, we ask God, you know, why is it taking so long? Are we there yet? So it's hard to stay faithful to Jesus when there's long seasons of waiting. You know, we wrestle with so much in that time. But yet that's what the Lord calls us to do. Amen. Yeah. So instead of triggering confusion and anxiety in that time, because we're all very vulnerable, right? Because, think about this. Like, we live in instantaneous society, culture, right? Like, you just have it your way, you know, like, we're all being conditioned, by the way, in our society. It's like, just get it now, make it now, and so sometimes we approach God that way too. We expect instant answers, but we have to understand that He doesn't always work that way. Actually, quite often He does not answer quickly, you know what I mean? And that could be hard. That could be hard. So it's during the times of waiting, though, that God matures our character, reveals more of Himself, and strengthens our faith. You know, these are some good purposes of the waiting. So in reflecting on this theme of waiting for God, having our faith tested, being tempted to lose hope, and to question His promises, God brought me to think upon the life of Abraham. And there's a lot we could draw from Abraham's life, if you have any general background of the guy. I mean, he went through a lot, a long journey, but specifically, there was a long time of waiting for Abraham as it relates to the promises of God. So he remained steadfast, though. He remained steadfast, though. That's what the scripture teaches, by believing that God would be faithful to his word. So in this sense, he's a model for us. He's an example for us. So let's read right now Romans 4. Romans 4. Verse 18 to 21. I'll just pick up here. It says, in hope against hope, Abraham believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So when I was reading this passage, just like hit me. Man, my hope is being threatened right now. I'm coming under attack right now. My hope, I'm about to lose hope, Lord. You know, and so the emphasis here, you know, when we look at Abraham's life, is that against all hope, Abraham still believed. So when the odds were against him, when all seemed impossible, yet the scripture says he was fully assured. You know, he persevered in hope. So you think Abraham's faith was being tested, though, in the waiting? Absolutely. It says he contemplated, and he faced the facts. Maybe the NIV translation says he faced the facts of their old age. And we could imagine the doubts that Abraham battled against. By the way, this is in relation to God giving Abraham the promise of a son, you know? And we'll get into that a little bit. So yeah, no doubt, he had doubts. and he might have thought, there's a real big problem here, God. Like, I'm crazy old, so is my wife. Like, how could we now at this point, at this stage, this late in life, see the fulfillment of your promise to us? It doesn't make sense. So yeah, he must have doubted because it says he contemplated. He's pondering these things. He's reflecting on these things. He's wrestling with these thoughts, you know. But then he had to face the facts that, maybe it's not going to happen. Maybe it's not going to happen. But yeah, he persevered in hope. So verse 19 says, Abraham's body was as good as dead. Oh my goodness. As good as dead. And so was Sarah's womb. So by what his eyes saw physically in the natural, there was no point. There was no point to holding on to the hope, to the promise that God gave him. So how could he possibly now produce the offspring that would bring about the fulfillment of God's promise? So what were the promises that God gave to Abraham? Right? We could just touch on a little bit of what he spoke to Abraham. That through Abraham, God would lead his people into the promised land, Genesis 12. And that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the heavens and the sand on the seashore, Genesis 15, 22. And that through his seed, and this is where it brings much bearing and relevance for us, and that through his seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And as we know, Christ Jesus is that seed. He was of the lineage of Abraham, and the blessing ultimately came and still comes through faith in him. So these are great and awesome promises that God spoke over Abraham, yet there was a time when he contemplated. He wrestled with this. He faced the facts that perhaps, I wonder. God has always proven himself true, but yet I wonder, is he going to answer this one? Like, you know? So yeah, real honest reflection that we see in Abraham's life, that he pondered these things. He faced the facts of these things. He contemplated these things. Yet still, the scripture makes it clear that against all hope, Abraham believed. And because of Abraham's faith, he was declared righteous before God. So that's an early indication from times of old. You know, you say, what does it for God? What is God after? You know, he's after faith. He's after a deep dependency on Him, even when we can't see, or even when we only see impossibilities. You know, God responds to faith like that, and we see evidence of it in the whole of Scripture, and especially now as we look at the life of Abraham. So, basically, the impossibilities were there in the natural of giving, you know, that basically he wouldn't have a son. But no, he fought against that because he still believed. Yet there was a time, you might, if you know some of the life of Abraham and Sarah, when he gave in to the demands of Sarah and gave birth. He had a son through Hagar. Which, by the way, was apparently a custom of the day. It's very, you have to contextualize that part because it could be a little strange to us to read this in modern times. But basically, Sarah's thinking like, well, it's not going to happen. Face the facts. So here, you know, like I have Hagar to have a son with, you know. But that wasn't the child of promise. That wasn't the child of promise. So yeah, there's trip ups along the way sometimes, you know. But still, once again, Abraham believed. Yeah. So God's word is clear that Abraham never wavered, that his confidence remained in the God of the supernatural. So how about you? You know, do you share Abraham's confidence to believe that God can still work impossibilities? You know, work through that. You know that even the impossibilities are possible for God. You know, we have to believe that. You know, because God is unchanging. You know, he hasn't changed. He hasn't changed, you know? So, in Genesis 21, our faithful God fulfilled his promise to Abraham, yet only in his perfect timing, though. You know, it took a while. When Sarah did, in fact, miraculously give birth to their son Isaac. So once again, the Lord made possible the impossible, as he's demonstrated throughout the Scripture, and as he demonstrates in our lives today. You know, so many of you, I'm sure, you have your glory story, your God moment, where you saw God show up in a very unthinkable, unlikely, perhaps strange, perhaps peculiar way, and yet he touched you, and he revealed himself to you. Maybe some of us really haven't had that experience yet, and you find yourself right now, facing the facts. Contemplating these things, you know, is it still even worth holding on to the promises that God has given me, or would I really believe in my heart that I was going to see come to fruition one day? You know, it was a long time before the fulfillment of God's promise came to Abraham. He didn't have clarity for a long time, but eventually, as he continued to trust and seek God, the promise came about. So how do you deal with disappointment when certain hopes and dreams go unfulfilled? You know, this is the question. This is the question to wrestle with. You know, it's a very honest question. It's a very raw question. You know, it's easy to sidestep it. You know, but when we're honest with ourselves, like, we all have questions. How do we deal with those things, you know? So here's the part that's very challenging. And we could see in this example here, there was a point when it seemed like the whole thing with Hagar was kind of like trying to go ahead of God, you know? It's like trying to take measures into our own hands. So how many of you know that whenever we try and go ahead of God, we always miss his greater blessing? You know, we have to be careful there. You know, we don't like the waiting. We don't like the waiting. I don't like waiting online going to buy fast food. It's supposed to be fast food, but more and more, because fast food is becoming so common, right? You're waiting on the drive-thru line a lot longer, and it's frustrating, you know, because I want it right now. Like, you know what I mean? So we deal with these things in life. We grow impatient, we grow frustrated. So what promise has God given to you that you're believing him for? You know, this is something to really ask yourself. You know, is it something, you know, related to your health or mending a relationship, you know, that's been broken? Is it the salvation, you know, of a loved one, or perhaps the fulfillment of a dream, or a specific angle of business or ministry or creativity or some gifting that he's given you that you've kind of been holding back, or, you know, whatever it might be, I don't know. But God's calling us out of that, to trust Him, to seek Him, and to wait on Him, and not go ahead of Him, you know? So this is how God has been speaking to me in the season of waiting, and to really just be on guard, to guard my heart. And I trust that there's people here that the Holy Spirit is also saying to keep holding on, you know? Keep your eyes fixed on Christ, keep pressing on. And stay close to Him. You know, that's the anchor for us. You know, you lose sight of that first love for Christ, we start tanking. You know, we start tanking. So one of the first points in this whole thing is, in the waiting, our faith is what helps us persevere. Our faith is what helps us persevere. Even when we can't see the end result. Why? Because we know that God is good. We already sang about it. You know, God is good. That our Heavenly Father is faithful to keep His promises. Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful." So what's our part in the waiting? To hold fast to hope. To hold fast to what God has said. That's our part. And this requires patience, requires endurance, and it requires a reliance on the Holy Spirit, because patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the natural, within ourselves, we can't do it. I can't really be a patient person, you know, without the Holy Spirit. So let's acknowledge that. The scripture teaches that there's fruit bearing, you know, which is evident of the work of Christ through the Holy Spirit in us. And one of those fruits is patience, you know. So to be patient, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit, even when we can't understand. When our faith is tested the most, it's very important to stay patient. So what is faith? Anyone familiar with Hebrews 11:1-2? Faith is being sure of what we hope for. Being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And it goes on to say that by faith the people of old gained approval, like Abraham, like we were just saying. You know, that's something about faith that just does it for God, you know? People who are without hope in every sense of the way, yet their faith and confidence and hope is in Him alone. And God responds to that. You know, He takes note of that, you know? By the way, we're not talking about blind faith here. You know, because many people, you know, great musicians, very talented musicians and movie actors and, you know, they do some PR speeches or whatever, and, you know, just have faith, you know? Just believe, you know? Just believe. It's like, believe in what? What do you want me to believe? Because I could believe a lie. I could believe a lie, and it could only lead me to further despair. So what are you saying? Believe in what? But as Christian people who stand on the truth of God's Word, you know, our faith has an object. Our faith has an object. It's the Lord Jesus Himself. He's the resurrected one. The God of all creation, the God of redeeming love, who is always true to His word and can never fail us. The covenant God made with Abraham and Abraham's response is only one example of many in the scripture. And it's inspiring to look at the heritage that we have, you know, in God's word. So another point we can learn about the waiting is that our faith inspires and encourages others to press on. How many times have you shared some of your story with someone about, you know, like you were just tanking, right? You were just getting hit, whatever it might be. You had to speak to your soul, right? Your downcast soul, but somehow the Lord lifted you out of that. And you speak it out. You proclaim that. You proclaim that. You testify that. It inspires others. It moves others, you know, to press on, to keep going. I'm inspired that way, and that's why I love God's Word, you know, because we read about so many examples of people who had great faith, and yet they persevered, you know, with great hope in God Himself. So yeah, the scripture says that as we hold fast to our hope, hold fast to our faith, Hebrews 10:24 says, we are to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, toward love and good deeds. So there's a component of persevering in faith in times of waiting, whatever it might be, that that spurs one another on and inspires, encourages others. Romans 1:12 says that we are to be mutually encouraged by one another's faith. And Hebrews 6:12 says, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Our faith demonstrates real trust in God and inspires others to persevere. So don't stop. Don't give up. Put your faith into high gear and the onlookers will take note. You know, they take note. You know, you bear the name of Christ. Don't ever forget it. You know, the people in the world, they know you. You're the Christian one, you know. At my job, I worked in retail for a very long time. You know, sometimes people call me priest, you know, the holy roller, the religious guy, you know. They're taking note. You know, they're taking note of me. They're taking note of you. So how we respond in crisis, how we respond, you know, when we're really struggling and wrestling with God in periods of waiting or trial, you know, they take note. So just be aware of that. That's all, you know. And it could be a witness, you know, it could be a witness, even in demonstrating that faith to God. So God is always building his testimony in us, like in Abraham, right? I mean, centuries and thousands of years later, we're still talking about the guy. You know what I mean? God gave us his story for a reason, like plenty of others, to inspire us, you know? So basically, as each of us have been redeemed by God, just know that when we are wrestling with these questions, just know that, like for Abraham, you know, your story, my story, it ain't over. It ain't over. God's not done with you. God's not done with me. You know, it's a journey with Christ. It's a walk, you know, as Scripture describes it, you know. So don't give up. That's all. You know, like, this is a real honest topic. I get it, you know. There's people here that are right in that place, just like we have been, and I understand. So I hope this encourages you. You know, I hope God's word and, you know, through the Holy Spirit would just compel us to persevere in faith, even when we can't understand. So, of course, in this, though, there is a word of caution. Because our faith points people's attention to Jesus, who is the only one who is faithful and true, we do have an adversary. You know, we need to be aware. You know, that Satan aims to steal and thwart that testimony. You know, like, God's building a testimony in us, and then the enemy wants to kind of try and take it away. And it's like, yeah, see, you weren't real. Like, you weren't really in Christ, you know, and you start getting plagued with all those doubts, right? All those questions, you know? Or maybe you hear a little chitter-chatter from some of the onlookers, right? So it can be a real battle. So stay on guard. You know, like the beautiful story that God has given to each of you and to me, God's not done. You know, we can't give up now, you know, because there is a glorious story that's coming. You know, if you haven't already experienced it, it's coming, you know, one way or another. And perhaps, yeah, through suffering, yeah. You know, Jesus endured the cross for us. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, right? Look, when I'm down, all I need to do is look at him. Nothing I go through could compare. You know, in light of what the Savior has done for me. So yeah, it's not, God's word isn't always promising, you know, the roses. He's not always promising. What he's trying to tell us is that there is a sweet intimacy that could be found in places of waiting. You know what I mean? That rejuvenates us, that revives us, you know, as the Holy Spirit does that in us, you know. And yeah, people will take note. People will take note. So in the waiting, we are vulnerable to feeling stuck and shrinking back in faith, you know. We'll likely battle the temptation to go ahead of God, kind of like at the time when Sarah was, you know, turning Abraham's eyes to Hagar, you know. Like, we're tempted to go ahead of God. Or maybe we are tempted to despair and give up hope altogether. In those moments, we sense a real desperation, a crisis, and a hopelessness arises. I could definitely relate with this, as I've shared. But somehow, in the wild, wild workings of God, who's jealous for our love, for my love, for your love, says he's a jealous God. It's often in those places of waiting where he desires to meet us, as I just shared. You know? It's there in the places of waiting that we learn a deeper and more complete dependency on the Lord as the only one who is our true comfort, love, refuge, and strength. We learn those things in the waiting. It's just so interesting. It's always and often so backwards, you know, like in the kingdom. You know, we think we could just receive it all when times are good. But God is saying, when times are bad, you have everything. You have me. You know what I mean? You have me. And then that actually can be the sweet place if we allow it. You know, it's not easy. It's hard. It's not easy. But God can produce much beauty there in the waiting. So when there's lengthy times of waiting, it's easy to give up on that dream, that vision, that promise that God gave you. But like I said, in the waiting, if we allow ourselves and we keep our eyes on Christ, there is a nearness, and the intimacy of Christ can become so powerful that it truly does satisfy in ways that no human love could ever speak into. We were made for Him. So yeah, in the grieving moments, you know, God wants to meet us there. So whatever the trial, or however long the waiting, we need to always drink of Jesus, you know, the living water, right? Whole other just awesome word, you know? It's very meaningful for me. Some of you already heard my story. In many respects, I tasted so much of what the world have to offer, you know? Just always left me dry, always left me empty. But this truth, for any one of us to latch on to this truth, Christ the living water, you know, like, we're tempted to look elsewhere, you know, we're tempted to receive all these other things that are like a, can be like a poison to us. And yet Jesus says that only in Him can He take away our true thirst, you know, because we really thirst for Him. You know, sometimes our soul, our being, we don't fully realize that, but that's the discovery of drawing near and staying close to Christ. We discover that there is no human love that could ever compare to the love of Christ that He plants within us as His sons, as His daughters. So that's a little side thing, because it's another part of my story, just, you know, really realizing that. He's so beautiful. He's so beautiful. And it could seem weird, right? Like, I'm up here about to cry on this point, but you have to know the journey. You have to know the story. And you guys are on the journey. You're in your story. And God wants to meet you in that sweet place of waiting. You know? And you sing a new song to Him. You rejoice in it. So draw near to Him. He'll draw near to you. Another promise to latch onto from God's word. All that He says is true. In the waiting can also be a place of strengthening, where our faith is tested as being refined by fire. In view of the hope and inheritance that we have in Christ, we can still greatly rejoice, the scripture says, when we find ourselves facing trials that test our faith, we can greatly rejoice. Listen to this. 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, might belong to us. In God's eyes, it's a little while. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. Why? So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, in glory, in honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Beautiful passage. So according to God's word here, the reason the trial comes is to strengthen and reveal the quality of our faith. We might not really like this part. You know, the crucible, right? The time of testing, it hurts right there. Why does He do it? So that the proof or genuineness of our faith will be proven as far greater value and worth to the Lord. It's precious in His sight. Like we said, Everything, the whole of Scripture, right? Always look at God's Word as a whole. Everything in here is to our benefit. Even the crazy, strange, wild stuff, you know, like the action-packed, like R-rated movie stuff, like the battles, the conquests, and the stumbles, the falls, and yet you see the people of old just persevering with such great faith and confidence. And even through all their shortcomings, God still always showed himself faithful. You know, God still always showed himself faithful. So yeah, their faith is what was precious to God. Your faith. Every time you say, yes, Lord, I will still believe. You know, you give and take away, right? You know that song, right? I could tell you about that song too, how that like challenged me. But it's real easy to sing part of that song. But the whole take away part, like, there was times I had to stay quiet just for my own integrity, because I'm like, you know what? I don't really like that verse. I don't like when you take away. You know what I mean? No, I'm just being honest. Like, seriously. You know? Like, we all deal with loss and different things. So, all right. So your faith is precious to God. Just catch that. Keep that. Tuck it away. You know? Let that marinate in you. You know, that this is what does it for God, you know? It's not always our outward acts. It's not always our outward things or our serving, you know? That's necessary, because that's part of our calling as the church. But he always responds to faith, you know? He always looks for faith. People who trust him, who take seriously his word, you know, and don't compromise and don't waver, you know, like we see in Abraham. So it's okay to ask, God, what are you up to here? Please, don't ever think you can't approach God that way. All you have to do is look at King David and the way he related to God in the Psalms. It was very raw. It was very real. You know, there's times he expressed anger. There's times he expressed confusion. Always know that your heavenly Father, like any dad, you know, or any mom, would want their kid to come to them and just pour it all out, son. Pour it all out, daughter. You know what I mean? There's times we need to do that. It's okay. It's a safe place to say, God, what are you up to? You know? And ask him to take our frustrations. Ask him to take our doubts. This is a good place to be, because we're expressing our faith in God even in that place, because we're going to him. You know, we're not going to those things that don't satisfy or that trigger the emotions, you know, and we just want to impulsively do something that we know is contrary to God's best for us. You know, like, God wants the trigger to be on our knees. You know, like, let the first knee-jerk reaction be to him, you know, with our cries. You know, so anyway, this is what we're going for. This is what Christ calls us to. Are we perfect? No way. You know, and that's where we all need each other to, you know, spur one another on, right? So when we're coming to him with our frustrations, when we're saying, God, what are you up to? Maybe with tears. It's a good place to be. That's all I'm saying. So on this note, there was a time when I was really expressing a lot of my questions and frustrations to my wife. I was talking to her a lot. And I said all that I said. And she really challenged me. She really challenged me. So basically, she said to me in this moment, honey, I hope you're talking to God about this thing more than you're talking to me. Ouch. Oh, yeah. Given my tendency to overthink things, because that is my tendency. I don't know about you. I could be over-analytical and read into things, get, you know. That's exactly what I needed to hear. That's exactly what I needed to hear. It was a challenging word that has stayed with me ever since. No joke. And I've really taken it to heart. So now, I just don't talk to her anymore. Just kidding. And by the way, you know, this has some bearing for the church. You know, that this isn't the point of this message, but be on guard. You know, we think our venting sometimes, like, it has a way sometimes to lead to gossip, you know? So even in the context of Christian community, you know, like, this is, I'm really not going to fully go there, but the idea is that I'm learning too that Yeah, if we're not taking it before the Lord, you know, like our natural human tendency is just, oh, we just want to dump it out on someone else. But be careful. Be careful what you say. You know what I mean? And be discerning too with who you share, you know? But most importantly, go to God with it. Go to God with it. That's the main thing here, you know? So, one thought is this. This is just a picture that I had in my mind when I was originally preparing this message. If you have someone in your life that you vent a lot to, and on a consistent basis, imagine if you can track the time. Imagine if you could track the time to gauge how much time you've poured out your emotions, your thoughts, your words, and unloaded them on this other person, and weigh that against the time that you spend with God doing the same thing. This is where he challenged me, you know, right with the word that God gave Beth to speak right into my soul right there. So what would the scale show? What would the scale show? Who are you talking to more? That's the point. Consider the imbalance. Consider the imbalance. God longs for communion with us. We are in union with Christ by the grace of God, by the blood shed for us. Like, it's the intimacy of the Lord that he longs for with us. So we fool ourselves if we think we could just keep dumping it elsewhere. He's saying, dump it on me. Dump it on me. I'll sweet talk you. I'll get you where you need to be. But start dumping it on me. You know? He'll tell us what we need to know. And like Jerry prayed actually earlier, Lord, reveal the faults in me in this. Reveal the sin in me in this. You know what I mean? Sometimes he doesn't always speak the sweet word. He loves us as his children, as a good father does. Sometimes there's discipline, right? Sometimes it's a hard word from the Lord. But there's always healing with him. There's always his truth that liberates us and revives us and returns us back to him. So until we bring our questions, our frustrations and concerns to the Lord and surrender them over to him, the reality is, I've found, like, we just won't have peace. We won't have rest in our soul, in our mind, our emotions, you know? So let's face it, that in the trials of waiting, when our faith is tested, we honestly will likely battle an anxious heart. Yet there's a supernatural peace to be found in Christ alone. Thank you, Lord. Philippians 4. Anyone familiar with that? It's verses 6 and 7. Great promise. Another great promise. Own this one. Own this one. Be anxious for nothing. You heard it. You heard it before. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Then what happens? Here's the great promise. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard our hearts, guard our minds in Christ Jesus. So here's the question. How can the peace of Christ be a guard to us if we're not giving over our anxious thoughts to him? It's very simple. The explaining is very simple. The living it out in experience can be difficult. But understand what God is saying. You know, you have a part, I have a part, and God gives the promise. The promise is the peace of God will surpass all comprehension, that surpasses all comprehension, will be a guard to us, will be a safeguard to our hearts, to our minds. So yeah, when reading God's word in general, you know, if this is still kind of like a get to know you, right? Like this moment, you know, like me to you, you to me, like we're getting to know you. When I read scripture, God has helped me to see and ask myself the question. There's a tendency to say, okay, in a promise or in a passage such as this, what is my part? You know, what is God calling me to do? And also, what is his part? You know, what is God promising to do in this? You know, so a lot of times I filter the scripture that way. Not in like a legalistic way, but surely and absolutely, God gives us a part. We do have a part in all of this. You know what I mean? We can't just sit back and say, okay, God's going to do it all. You know, there's a place to have faith like that. maybe in a time of waiting. Yeah, maybe there's times of be still and knowing. A whole other word, right? Be still and know. Hey, be still and know. Be still and know. Oftentimes, God is telling us to do something, and we have a part. So right here, it's giving our anxious thoughts to Him. You know? Giving our anxious thoughts over to Him. Giving our requests over to Him. And strangely enough, in this place, the scripture says, with thanksgiving. That was a trip up for me. That was a trip up for me, because I'm like, alright, if I even get to the point of honoring your word here and being faithful to what you're telling me to do in my part to give my request to you, you up the ante and now you say to thank you? To thank you for this thing, whatever I'm dealing with, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. How are we to enter His gates and His courts with thanksgivings and praise, right? So, all right, I got you. You echo that word in other places of Scripture. We approach God with thankfulness in a view of His mercy. So, yeah, I get it. I get it. So our part in the waiting is to give over to God what's been pressing on us and to do so with thanksgiving. What's God's part here? The beautiful promise of this passage, as we shared, is that God is so faithful to guard us, to guard and protect our hearts and our minds from what? From the plague of anxieties, confusion, and inner turmoil that try to creep in when our faith is tested. Yet still, in Jesus, there is a peace that surpasses all comprehension. And that's His promise to us. No amount of thinking we can do can make it better, is kind of the point. You know, only God could give that type of peace. You know, like our attempts to think it all out, or my over analytical thinking to try and figure it all out won't produce the peace of God in my heart. That's the point. You know, it's a supernatural movement of God by His Holy Spirit. Another fruit, by the way. The fruit, you know, it's peace of God in our hearts. He bursts that out of us. No amount of thinking can bring it on. So if we're not talking to Him in the midst of our trials, we completely miss it. You know, the blessing of knowing God's nearness and intimacy, we miss out. Receiving the protection of the peace of Christ, we miss out. And experiencing the uplifting comfort of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, we miss out. Know that God loves you. He grieves with you. He longs for authentic communication with you. In whatever you're facing, draw near to Him. Cry out to Him. He is near and desires to overwhelm us with His presence and renew an awareness of His faithfulness. So in the natural, it's understandable to feel stuck and confused in the waiting. But please know that God doesn't see it that way. God doesn't see it that way. He sees the trial. He sees the waiting, the testing, as an opportunity to deepen our trust in Him, to mold and refine us, to form the character of Christ in us, who endured the cross for us. He persevered for us. Right? He's always our model. Right? He's always the one. That's why God's word says, fix your eyes on Him. And don't look over there. Fix your eyes on Him. No greater example. So, if this trial is causing us to fall on our knees to seek the face of God and gets us talking to Jesus more, be very encouraged and know that that is a very good place for us to be in, and quite perhaps to hear Him. What is He saying? You know, what is His Spirit saying? To speak to us. All the questions that we have, like I said, I drove 2 hours away to have my questions answered with the Lord. He hardly answered them all, but it was more about seeking Him, you know? And then, yeah, some answers might come. He'll come. They'll come, you know? It might not always be what we want to hear, but they'll come. But what He'll definitely say to you is to persevere. Don't give up on me. I'm not giving up on you, right? Faithful love, faithful God. He's faithful. Even when we are faithless, He cannot deny Himself. It's the very nature of God to be faithful to His sons and daughters. So there's purpose in the waiting. God is after faith that's proven genuine. He's after hearts that are fully His. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him. Then the rest of the passage says this, for he who comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly and diligently seek him, some translations say. So how about you? Are you seeking him in the waiting? If I ever need a reminder of this truth, I simply just look at the biblical heroes of the faith, right? Abraham, Moses, Joseph, David, Esther, even Job. I don't like reading Job. Oh, man. But even Job. There's a glory story at the end. So we look to God's word to encourage us. And God ultimately rewarded them all for remaining steadfast in faith and seeking him in the midst of their trials and in waiting. So it's clear that God uses our stories and the stories of others to inspire us. Our struggles, our journeys. And if you wanted a condensed version of what I'm sharing here, just read Hebrews 11. Because it kind of goes through this whole lineage, you know? Like our heritage, right? Think about that. Our family, you know, the ancients who have gone before us. Like that's our lineage, you know? And it's kind of encapsulized in Hebrews 11. You know, like just this cloud of witnesses, the scripture says, that have gone before us, you know? So there are team leaders. They're the forerunners, you know? Our forefathers and foremothers. There's plenty of women of God who persevered in the same way. So all of that is recorded in God's word for a reason. Romans 15:4 says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. We might have hope. So what is God teaching you in the waiting? Are you willing to receive it? It's a learning place, you know? In a devotional I read from A.W. Tozer, kind of right around this theme, was a devotional that God brought to me. And he talked about our trials and our crises being the school of faith, like a school of faith, right? Where God wants to teach us something. But our tendency is to resist it, you know? And sometimes that prolongs things. The work that God wants to do in us, it kind of prolongs things, you know? And so will we have to take the class again? You know, that's what I ask myself. Will I have to take the class again and it cycles through all over? You know, or can we have humble hearts to say, Lord, search me and know me. You know, search me and know me. Where's the resistance within myself? Where's the resistance within myself from keeping me from full surrender to you in this word, in this truth of seeking you in the waiting, of drawing near to you in the waiting? You know, back to our story, back to the whole, you know, your story, my story, it ain't over yet, God's not done with you. Understand your unique role in the kingdom of God, right? That beyond salvation, beyond all this glorious mystery of the gospel and redemption, that, you know, the atonement, all these great, wonderful things that God has given us in the Lord Jesus, that's just the beginning. You know, now he wants to use us, right? We all have a unique role in his mission for the purposes of God. So consider God's loving call to press on toward the goal with hearts of first love that burns for Jesus. Eyes of faith that look only to him during our times of confusion, doubting, and uncertainty. You know, there's much that God calls us to. There's much that he has for each one of us. But we miss out, you know? And we can't see it come about, you know, when we're resisting the Lord in places of waiting. He wants to develop those gifts that he's given us. He wants to use our stories, our experiences to speak into others. But we're not really willing to do that, You know, and we get a hardened heart before the Lord, you know? Guard our hearts. We need to guard our hearts. Jesus, who said, "Come and learn from me," is actively working through these situations, even the unexpected and disappointing ones, to teach us his ways, to stretch us and grow our faith to the point that nothing the enemy throws at us will hinder our persevering hope. Because we, by faith, have taken hold of something and someone who is far more beautiful and who, in view of his mercies, is far more worthy of our fully surrendered heart. Romans 8:25 says, "If we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." So let's be willing to be taught of the Spirit in this, in times of waiting, to see not the seen, but the unseen, where the Lord reminds us of his faithfulness and assures us of his promises. So yeah, whatever it is, you know, like, what breakthrough are you waiting for? You know, is it a sin struggle that gnaws at you? Is it someone you love that you deeply care about, but the relationship is just so broken, you don't even know how to begin? Maybe the deepest need right now, maybe the deepest need in the waiting is kind of what I've already shared, which is a little flavor, by the way, of, you know, a big passion of kind of my heart, you know, to draw near to the Lord. So maybe the deepest need that we have in the waiting is for a life-changing encounter with our beautiful risen Savior, who longs to meet us in the midst of our desperation to revive our love for him, to revive our hope and confidence in him. You know, maybe that's what the waiting is about. I don't know. You know, and the Holy Spirit could reveal, you know, that's why we commit these times to him, the teacher, you know, the one who speaks to our hearts, who affirms his word deep within us. So don't give up. Hold fast to your hope in Christ. Keep trusting in his promises. And I'll close with this psalm, Psalm 27:13-14. The psalmist says, "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." Let's pray. Father, thank you that you have not given up on me. You have not given up on anyone here. Lord, forgive me, forgive us at times when we want to run from you, and we want to reject you, we want to resist you in the times of waiting. Meanwhile, you're calling us to yourself in those moments, Lord. So yeah, Lord, I just pray that, God, for every person here, including myself, God, that we would have receptive hearts to your Holy Spirit, that we wouldn't grieve you any longer in this, Lord, that we would say yes to be humble before you, Lord, and to be honest and real before you. Thank you, God, that we could come boldly before your throne, that it is a throne of grace. God, that we don't have to fear, Lord, approaching you because of the blood shed by your Son that gives us access to you. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for enduring and being patient with us. Oh my gosh, thank you, Lord, for being patient with me. Thank you, Father, for not giving up on me. Lord, thank you. So yeah, just take this word, Lord. God, we trust that you will continue to let it soak in and let it be a fresh word for every one of us, and to revisit some of these scriptures, Lord, to see our part in the waiting, and to rejoice in the promise of seeing your faithfulness and your promises come about, Lord. So we love you, we praise you, and we just are delighted, Lord, to be called your sons and your daughters. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us through the cross, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yep. You got please give Owen and Beth a chance to get to the back. I don't know if Daniel and Julia want to join them or not, but they can if they want to. Please be praying for the church. Be praying for Owen and Beth. Owen has stepped out in faith to commit his life to ministry. Be praying for him in decisions that he has to make, his family, for him and his family. You guys can go ahead to the back.
Thanks.
Again, just reiterate, please be here tonight, 5:30. If you're a member, you should be here. Your opinion matters. Your voice matters. Just an opportunity to take it. We just speak for the elders real quick. We've talked about this at our last elders meeting, that we want you as a congregation to know that we are here for you. If you need to approach us on anything, please approach any one of us. You have opinions, you have matters. You are as important part of this body of believers as anyone else, and we want your voice to be heard. So please reach out to us with anything, whether it's something going on in your life or something going on at the church. Go in peace and have a great week.